Good morning, Big Rapids. This is Big Rapids Buzz with Chris Long and
Bruce Borkovich. Chris, I still kind of expect you to say, good morning, Vietnam! it hasn't happened yet, but I'm just on, edge of my seat to hear that. You're going to do that one day and surprise me, right?
Maybe.
Excellent. Excellent.
We'll see.
How you doing this morning, Chris?
I'm doing good. Did you see any more eclipses?
I have not. Okay. My brother's held me underwater, and I looked up when I was a kid, right? Every time I'd
everybody's
pass
heard
out,
the story.
The not if they didn't hear us last week.
That is true.
Yeah. But no more eclipses. It's just been smooth sailing.
Anything else happen?
Not much. Just, just taking care of grandkids and, doing my thing.
So, yeah. Well, we have a special guest here today. Who do we have?
We have Dr. Linda.
Who's Dr. Linda?
Well, I'm going to tell you, because she's not only an excellent veterinarian in the area at the 19 Mile Vet Clinic, she's a friend of ours. So I think we were talking earlier,
a friend of yours personally?
She's better friends with my wife.
I'm sorry for you.
If you know.
That's okay.
If you know me and my wife, everybody likes my wife more than me, right?
Yes.
Dr. Linda, tell the truth.
I don't know that that's entirely true. I pretty much love you both, I'll be honest. You guys are just...
Yeah, she's like our second daughter.
Oh,
really? She really is. And we've become close. And you're getting to be a salty old veteran. How many years now practicing veterinary medicine?
So I graduated from Michigan State in 2013. So I'm about 10 years out. So,
I always would describe you or a physician at... I call it the peak of your career because you're new enough to have the new training and the new everything. But now you're a veteran, you're not a year into it. You're 9-10 years into it. And I think that you're really productive. As you get on, you gain experience. But, there may be newer things they're teaching in vet school that you don't know.
So, that's where they make you do CE. So it keeps you kind of on track with all the new stuff. Continuing education. Oh. So human physicians have to do it. We have to do it. So, but it's good though, because medicine is always changing. Recommendations are always changing. And you just have to stay on top of that stuff to provide the best quality of care to your patients. So, so it's good. It's good for everybody involved.
It really is. Yeah. And so we're delighted to have you on. And I think it's pretty timely. Maybe it's a few weeks late. But really, I kind of want to start off with heartworm season because...
Yeah, it's a great topic.
I didn't know there was a season. I thought it was all year round.
Well, it depends. Now, some veterinarians will just test and treat and give the preventative in the spring and summer and fall. And I'm going to have Dr. Linda explain
this. Yeah, you
should. They do it year round here. So let's back up a little bit. First of all, just briefly, what is heartworm?
Yeah, so heartworms are exactly what they sound like. It's a worm, an actual worm that lives in the hearts of dogs, specifically the pulmonary arteries, which are basically the vessels that carry blood from the heart and into the lungs. So that's where they like to hang out and live. So it's something that we see pretty much everywhere across the entire United States. Michigan, obviously not as bad here as like you would see south, in Florida, Alabama, swampy Louisiana. Areas. Yeah, those types of places.
But how do they get heartworm?
Yeah, so really, really great question. So heartworms are transmitted by mosquitoes and by mosquitoes only. So there's actually a little kind of baby version of the worm. It's called the L3 larva. And that is the component that the mosquitoes transmit directly to a dog if they would bite them.
Okay.
So it's definitely a real problem. I don't even know how many cases a year, but I mean, we see it. It's not like it's something that you see like once in your career as a veterinarian. And it is treatable, but anytime you have worms living in the heart, that causes significant damage. Long-term complications from that can be like heart disease, issues with breathing, lungs, that sort of thing. So
how many dogs a year in this area would you say die from heartworm? Not contracting it, die from it.
That's a hard question to answer, because I think probably a lot of dogs, there are some people that just won't test their dogs.
Exactly.
So you don't always know. And there's a lot of people that don't bring their dogs into the vet.
Exactly.
So, you know, you don't always know necessarily which dogs are dying and what they're dying from specifically. Yeah. So, but I would say that we see at our clinic probably 8 to 10 cases of active heartworm a year that we have to treat.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not something you see every day, mm-hmm. but it's out there and it can cause significant, issues for the dog if left untreated.
Is there any like particular breeds that are more susceptible? Or?
No, any dog that gets bit by a mosquito can get it. Yep. So,
yes,
and this is.
But is there any patterns that you've noticed? Small dogs,
so,
big dogs,
yes.
Old dogs, young dogs.
Yeah. So that's a really great question. So obviously, exposure to mosquitoes is going to increase the risk
right.
for contracting
outside
a condition
dogs.
Like that. Yeah. So, people that are outdoorsy, which most people in northern Michigan are, they yeah. like to, you know, fish and camp and hunt and all these sorts of things. So those dogs are more at risk than maybe, you know, like somebody's like 5-pound Yorkie that yep. never touches the ground, you know. So, but the reality is a mosquito
Shout
can
out
be.
To Kimberly.
But a mosquito can be anywhere, right? So it could, your dog could literally contract heartworm disease any time of the year. And the challenge with our seasons anymore is that a lot of times we get these weird warm ups in the winter and mosquitoes can be around anywhere. And so the recommendation now is just treat all dogs year round for heartworms, because it's like, why pull them off their preventative for like 2 or 3 months and then start it back up? And again, it's honestly, it's simpler, it's more effective, and it's just better preventative care to keep them on their prevention year round. That's just the way it is.
Is it cheaper to buy online through that one online pets.com? I don't know. There's
an
a
couple
one,
of online pharmacies. Chewy is one.
You guys.
Is one. Right now, no, it's actually cheaper to buy your preventatives like out of our clinic.
Okay.
And a lot of people will just buy 6 or 12 months at a time. And it's actually, that's the most cost effective way to do it, because we do have it set up so that you get a little bit of a discount, you know, when you do it that way. Because we really would rather that you buy your preventatives through us.
Yeah, then you know exactly what they're on.
Yep. And one of the reasons for that is, let's say your dog is on, like you purchase 12 months of prevention in our clinic, your dog is on its prevention every month of the year. And let's just say, you know, by some like 1 in a million chance, your dog would like get heartworms. So the pharmaceutical company that we purchase those preventative products from is probably going to cover the cost of treatment for your pet. We can basically prove that the client purchased the preventative for us and they have been giving it regularly in the appropriate time intervals and all that sort of thing.
Wow.
Chewy's not going to do that for you.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. They just aren't. You
have
know,
you had this happen before?
Not with heartworms, but I had a case where a dog was like appropriately vaccinated for Lyme disease and ended up turning up positive for Lyme. And the company did pick up the tab for like testing and monitoring and all that sort of thing, treatment for that particular dog. So nothing's 100%, right? But at least the pharmaceutical company has your back if you buy your products through us.
Well, I've also heard, and maybe that's changed, but sometimes getting those medicines from wherever, they found that lots are expired. Sometimes that's how they get them and why they're selling them cheap, because the medicine's expired.
Yep.
But I do have a quick story to answer your question, Chris. So I was, before I got here, I was very active in field trialing my retrievers. I was a competitor, trained them intensely. I was a breeder, drove to Apache, Oklahoma one time to get a dog bred. But anyhow, there was a stud I used, and we kept a pup out of the litter, and he was a national class competitor. He was a wonder. The dog sold at one point for $100,000. So a veterinarian owned him, competed with him, had him with a professional. It sold for $100,000. So anyhow, this dog was on heartworm medicine and got heartworm. And I never heard the story. I always suspected, though, because it wasn't the vet, it was the next owner. It could have been this. I got it at one of the tractor stores, or I got it online or whatever. And but the point of the story is this dog is tremendous, expensive, national class athlete, got it so bad that he had to live in a crate for 6 months. And the only time, several times a day, the owners would hook him to a short lead, take him out to use the grass, and he had to come right back in because if physical activity could have broken those pieces. Is that right, Dr. Linda?
Yeah. So when you're treating a dog, usually they're adult dogs that have an active heartworm infection, the medication that you're using to treat them with, it kills the heartworms that live in the heart. But then those heartworms, they don't just disappear, right?
Yeah.
So the heartworms, once they're dead, basically the body has to kind of like take care of those dead worms mm-hmm. via just like its natural like process, just basically like absorbing those worms. So one of the things that can happen though is if you have a dog with a bunch of dead heartworms in their heart and they're out running around, pieces of those worms can like break off. Yep. They cause a clot, they cause an embolus, and then the dog just drops over dead. So like exercise restriction is such a like a really important part of managing these types of cases when you have a dog that's being treated for heartworms. So that's why but we actually, the veterinary industry had kind of an issue. I don't know. It's been a couple, 2-3 years ago where Amazon was selling counterfeit Seresto collars that were coming right from China.
Oh.
So they
she
were.
She said the C word.
Yeah. You fake. Can't say that. People get angry.
But that was the
Chris
reality
and I are
of
have
it,
a stroke.
You know? So, but here's the
Hang
thing,
on,
right?
Dr. Lynn, I got to interrupt you. Chris, let her have it.
You can't say that.
No, really? We're just teasing.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
It just triggers Chris and I. Oh. Go ahead.
No, that's fair.
Our fans don't like
it. Well, it doesn't matter where they were coming. Right. They were counterfeit products that were actually causing a problem with the pet population that they were getting used on. And what was happening was all of this like social media, like all of this fallout was coming back on Bayer Animal Health, who makes Seresto collars, which are actually
it's a flea and tick collar.
But they're actually like a tremendously useful product, especially if you have a dog like a seizure dog that can't have oral flea and tick prevention or some like they're a great product. And they were like having all of these issues, and it wasn't even their product
that was getting sold.
It was just something. So that's why you had to be careful, I guess, about where you're buying your products.
Don't buy from China.
Who's selling them? Yeah. So there you go. Or just in general. Just in general, don't buy that kind of stuff from Amazon specifically. Like that's not a good place to get your pets.
Yep.
Prevention. It's just not.
So we've talked about heartworm, but at the same time, we're seasonally tick prevention. Now I can tell you, I've got
We got ticks right now.
I've got an 82 acre farm
all year.
Here.
Yeah.
Ticks all over. And I know that your mentor, Dr. Hitzman, would explain to me that we need a really, really cold, deep freeze to kill a lot of ticks.
Yep.
And Dr. Linda, this has been a pretty mild winter.
Yeah. Again, we're not getting the cold and like the consistently cold winters. At least here, and probably a lot of that is just normal cyclicity and like
global
weather.
Warming.
And, no, it's not global warming.
The darn roads.
It's not global warming. No, it's for sure not that.
We have a little fun with this.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. Good for you guys.
So typically when they come in, then do you recommend a flea and tick treatment year round? Because of that.
I'm recommending to my clients. Yep. Year-round heartworm prevention, year-round flea and tick prevention.
I stopped in like October time frame and then
Chris, I used to do the same thing. When I lived in Mount Pleasant, I never saw ticks. And the vets we dealt with, very good vets, didn't necessarily recommend. I came over here, we have ticks everywhere, and now we don't have a dog anymore, but if I did, I would definitely have medicine year round.
I've never seen ticks on my property. I check the dog all the time. I stopped in October because that's typically when you stop. And I did the dog went in for an ACL exam.
Yep.
And they did blood work, and she's got Lyme positive right now.
Oh, she got Lyme disease.
Well, it's positive. We don't know. Yeah. Does that mean?
Yeah.
So
anyway, she's being treated right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
On top of the ACL injury.
So it's literally always something. So what's interesting about Lyme disease in veterinary medicine is, so last year, I think the number like at our clinic was about 1 in 10 dogs was testing positive for Lyme.
Wow.
That's a lot of dogs, right? Yeah. So the good news is that dogs definitely do get Lyme disease. They get sick from it. We treat them like it's a problem.
And it's pretty treatable, right?
It is. It's a bacteria. So you treat it with antibiotics. But what's more scary to me is that those ticks that carry Lyme disease are out there in abundance.
And you can get it from it. So if they bite you,
a tick,
not the dog, the tick.
The only way you can get Lyme is from a tick bite. But
they're out here.
Right. So so the human population implications from that is really a big deal, because when we get Lyme disease, it tends to be a really bad condition that can linger and cause autoimmune conditions. And so, you really just have to
What's really the symptoms for the dog, though?
Yeah, so...
Because I didn't... My sage didn't have any issues.
I have an answer. I wonder if it's right.
Go ahead.
I found with these high-power performance dogs of mine, we perceive pain and discomfort like humans, and dogs can be extremely stoic.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I found... We just got one. Minnie had it, a wonderful competition dog, and she wasn't limping or anything, but we evaluate... A dog pain and discomfort like humans, and we only found it through a blood test, and she had it.
Yeah,
but it doesn't it come into the joints, attack the joints, stuff,
so
right?
It can't. Yeah, yeah. So, I would say the most common thing that we see in dogs is fever, shifting leg, lameness, swollen joints, and just people will describe their dogs as just not being right. They don't want to do anything. They just don't act good. But they can. It can also cause weird bruising, that sort of thing under the skin, because specifically the Lyme bacteria can attack the body system that is your clotting system, essentially. Mm. So it can mess with all of that. So then you can't clot. It can cause some issues with kidney dysfunction. So there's a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah. That how Lyme many disease dogs can do. Die from Lyme disease?
Oh, very few, probably.
Oh, that's
because
good.
We screen really well for it now, right? Because we run those 40X, those snap tests on pretty much every dog
of
that walks
ones that
in the door.
It.
So
no, they're doing that. You're doing the blood test though that will detect it before they're symptomatic.
Right. What I'm asking is how many that get Lyme disease die from it?
Very, very few, because it's a bacteria. It's extremely treatable in most cases, unless the dog would be the one that develops a Lyme nephritis, which is an inflammatory condition of the liver, or I'm sorry, not the liver, the kidneys. Those would be a much more serious condition, but I've never seen that clinically.
But then again, if someone isn't getting veterinary care, your dog could have it for years and end up dying.
Yeah. Correct. You wouldn't even know. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So seasonally, if you haven't, prevented things all year round, you need to get your dogs in now.
Just do it. Do it year round.
Yeah. And listen, as a former dog trainer, a dog enthusiast, a competitor, listen to what the vets are telling you about heartworm, and ticks.
Yep.
And all of this stuff.
Rabies. Because it's... Yeah. Got to get rabies shot, right?
Yeah.
That's a legal requirement.
Yep. You need to have a rabies.
Yep.
That's it. You have to get it. No. Yeah.
How
no
many rabies cases have you seen here?
I don't think that I have ever clinically seen a rabies case in a dog or a cat. But the state of Michigan, I think it was maybe last summer, they had an actual diagnosed case of rabies in a kitten in the state of Michigan. Mm. So
where at?
It's I don't remember exactly where it was at, I'll be honest. But we got some information the diagnostic center and the state veterinarian over in Lansing, they will regularly send emails to my email when there's important things happening regarding animal and or human health.
Right.
And you know, people, I think they get like weird about rabies vaccines. I think because it's a vaccine, number one, but also because here in the United States, we don't see rabies ever, right? The main reservoir population in the state of Michigan is bats. Like people don't see bats. Yeah. They don't, you know, and we've done a good enough job of vaccinating for rabies that it's mostly like a wildlife population issue. But the reality is like, if you have rabies, you're going to die. I mean, it's not worth the risk of like just not giving it a vaccine. But like, that's just silly.
If there's a situation with like a bat or something that's it's in question, then you need to quarantine the dog or the animal, right?
Yeah, so some of the quarantine recommendations depend a little bit on where the pet is with its like rabies vaccination. Is it up to date? Has its vaccine lapsed? When did it last get it? Has it had more than one in its life? Mm. So there is like a specific algorithm that we follow if we have a potential, like a pet that maybe got exposed or a pet that, you know, bit somebody like a kid or somebody else, and they maybe either hadn't had a rabies or weren't up to date, or, you know, so there's a whole protocol for that.
Right.
That
right.
we follow.
I know another,
real quick, how do you determine if there is a valid case? Tell our listeners, there's only one way.
A valid case of
rabies.
Like to confirm rabies in a dog or a cat.
Yes.
I mean, people probably don't want to hear this, but yeah, we have to just
Wait, hold on. If you're squeamish, I mean, don't listen for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reality of it. The only way that you can confirm rabies is there's a specific area of the brain that the rabies virus lives, essentially. So we have to basically cut their head off. So the pet has to be euthanized. We have to cut their head off. We put it in a bucket and we send it to the state, and they will do all of their testing.
It's the only way.
It's literally the only way that you can test.
There's
for
no
it,
blood
so.
Test. No, nothing.
That happened to me when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, you had your head cut off?
Oh, yeah.
No rabies.
Was it before or after the eclipse?
It was right after the eclipse. And no rabies. They sent the head back.
Goodness.
And they put me back in first grade. That was my fourth year in first grade. And look at me now. So I'm something now.
Maybe you're doing something wrong.
I believe I am doing something wrong. Let's transition to, because I know you deal with a ton of this and have really developed an expertise, allergy skin stuff. Man, it seems like we see a lot more of that than we did 10, 15, 20 years ago even.
I wasn't a vet more than 10 years ago.
Right.
So I'm not,
but I've
I'm
got
not
a
sure
dear friend
that,
who's
but.
A vet, and he's a great friend, and he's been in a vet for 40 years. I don't think he used to see as much as he is now.
I'm sure there's a reason for that. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think a lot of the like allergy stuff that we see, especially in dogs, is what we call atopic dermatitis. So that's, I think there's probably a strong genetic component to that, because we tend to see there are certain breeds that are for sure overrepresented. Labs, shepherds.
Breeding. If you're just putting two dogs together because you want to make a color or because you want to make money. Indiscriminate breeding has got to be a big contributor.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure there does seem to be a strong genetic component to it. We see a lot of dermatology stuff constant all day.
Do you find... is it sometimes as simple as the food they're eating? Have you had cases where, you know what, you're eating this isn't the best food, try this, and it goes away?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there are for sure differences in quality of pet foods. They are not all created equally, for sure. And I think there can be like a lot of like contamination of pet food, especially over the counter foods.
Especially if it's made in China.
China. Yep. There we go. Thank you, Chris. You said the C word.
So I don't think that helps necessarily. Right. I'm sure that just with like our food, what we're eating, there's probably a lot of unnecessary stuff and a lot of like the boutique diets and that sort of thing, which have really kind of become a big deal. I don't know, the last 5 to 10 years, probably a lot of people wanting to feed their dogs gluten-free foods, and which is
people are feeding gluten
nonsense. It's total nonsense. It's a pet food marketing, like. Like, it's just nonsense.
No scientific.
What about
nothing.
The whole filler, the no grain diet?
That's gluten free, the no grain.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I do I that. Think, my bad. Well, I'm looking. I don't shop the no gluten free. So I do the no so grain. I thought that's happened, what you're supposed right? to do.
No. So dogs are. What they're more like omnivorous, like people. So they need meat in their diet, obviously, but they also need a certain amount of grains, fibers, and they have to be in like the right proportions. Like it's pretty complicated science. Like the nutrition of it is really complicated, but you can't just feed your dog like a raw meat diet. Like that's not going to work. Their gastrointestinal systems aren't going to function, but the gluten-free thing.
So don't feed them raw meat.
No, 100%. Do not. Some people do not that, do that ever.
Raw meat only.
Yeah, oh, raw meat only.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Just no raw
but
meat
there's,
only.
Like, there's a lot of people out there that are like huge proponents of just like raw meat diets for dogs, and that so. A cat,
they
fine.
Must have
a cat.
Wolves.
Well, yeah, right. Well, they're like, well, wolves in the wild eat this, and you're like, okay, well, no, they actually don't. They eat like the entire animal. They're not just eating like the piece of steak that you feed them. Like that's this complete
they're eating
nonsense.
Bones and different tissues.
Yeah,
sometimes they're eating contents of intestines and stomachs and
They're just so. I mean, the science behind that is like skewed a little bit, and also our domesticated dogs are not wolves, right? They just We're a long genetic way from wolves. But so I think what happened, I don't know, like 5 or 10 years ago, maybe longer than that. I think the pet food industry was kind of going down this road, like people were starting to eat gluten free and it was like this big deal and everybody, it was like healthier for you and all this kind of thing. So the pet food industry, I think, just said, OK, we're going to make gluten free foods. We're going to start selling them and
as no grain.
Yeah, right. So grain they basically free. Replaced grains with things like chickpeas, that sort of stuff. Well, so it didn't help the allergy problem, right? Because most dogs don't have a primary grain allergy. So I will say one of my good friends from vet school is a veterinary dermatologist, and they're is an actual population of dogs that have a grain allergy. That does exist, but it's an extremely small percentage of dogs that have actually primary food allergies. But what we saw downstream a couple years from this whole like grain-free, like gluten-free, like food craze was veterinary cardiologists were starting to see all of these like weird cases of like heart disease and like breeds of dogs that didn't normally have it. So there are certain, again, breeds, genetics, boxers, Dobermans that have heart disease issues just because of the breed of dog. But they were seeing these cases of heart disease popping up in these young dogs where they shouldn't have normally been. So they started investigating this. And lo and behold, what did we find?
No grain.
Well, there's actually a nutrient that dogs called taurine that dogs get from grains.
Is that the same stuff that's in my energy drinks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably taurine. T-A-U-R-I-N-E, right?
Yeah.
It's an amino acid.
Yeah.
I get plenty of it. I guess I won't get heart disease, right?
No, but so they were seeing these cases in pretty much all of the dogs that were coming in with these weird heart disease issues were all on grain-free diets. And so basically you treat the dogs for heart disease, you put them back on a normal diet, and lo and behold, what happened? They got better. It's still kind of the FDA has, I think, kind of him and hawed around actually like saying, yes, this was the cause and this was the effect, because pet food is big money. Drives like everything anymore. But I would not recommend feeding your dog grain free food ever.
Okay. On the food, can you tell us if there's one brand of food out there that you would say do not buy, what is it?
And you don't have to answer that question.
Well, I'm just saying we need to mark that down as we won't get them as a sponsor.
Yeah. I don't know if I can say that there's one. I think there's a lot.
What should you not look for?
There's quite a few that are definitely better than others.
Hang on, I got to sneeze. Hang on.
Yeah.
Overroy! Excuse me.
Yeah, that's
I think I'm coming down with something. Chris? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
That's okay. That's not a great one. I mean, there's no...
I don't know what that one is.
Overroy?
I've never heard of that.
Probably not.
Is that like the dollar store?
Less.
Yeah.
The 50-cent store? It's where what you get at the 50-cent store.
I don't think that anyone has any 50-cent stores anymore.
No, we don't. I don't, you know, pet food is, I think it comes down to like, trusting the companies that make your food to be actually making a good product that you can feel good about feeding your dogs. And I mean, because there's no company's perfect. Every company yeah. has recalls. Everybody has, you know, and people want to get like all upset and, you know, blame pet food companies and all this sort of thing. But it's, I think you have to trust the company to make a good product.
So do your What's homework the best? On the company.
Yeah. So there's a couple I think that are definitely better than others.
Name the company. I'm ready. We're going to plug them.
Well, I think
give me 1 second here.
I think it's safer.
So when I was in vet school, right, one of my externships, I went actually to St. Louis, Missouri, and I actually toured the like the Purina veterinary facility there. So and. I'm a veterinarian. I've been into animals like my whole life. I was in grad school and I was literally blown away by this facility. Like I couldn't believe that much like effort and time and energy and money went into just formulating a pet food. Yeah. It was absolutely unreal. So, I think Purina Pro Plan makes one of the best over the counter diets out there. Yeah. Hill Science Diet makes a consistently quality product. Yeah. Royal Canin does. Yeah. I'm Zucanuba. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of them that are good. And I'm not going to name an all-inclusive list by any means. Just because I don't name one doesn't mean that it's not good. But you should do your research. Yeah. You should make sure
and these were performance. These are like Olympic athletes. I fed Purina Pro Plan. They're high energy.
Yeah, it's good food.
30 it's protein, really good food. 20 fat. And it my dogs did wonderful.
Yeah. So yeah, they make a high quality product.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to reach out to those companies now that we've mentioned them on the air.
See if they'll sponsor.
Yeah there right. you go.
See
yeah.
if they'll send you and me money individually. Yeah.
Or maybe I could get free dog food. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I'd like free money.
Well, and then I'm just looking to offset bills.
I understand. Hey, we're talking with the delightful Dr. Linda here, who's not only a talented veterinarian, but my friend. And but we have to give her a chance to catch her breath, and we have
water,
to go to a
coffee.
Station break. Yeah, well, we'll go up and get her a Jack and Coke or something. But
it's too early for that.
We're going to continue the conversation after these messages from our local sponsors of the Big Rapids Buzz. You are listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang.
Good morning. We're back.
Boy, Chris, when I asked you if you're ever going to introduce us, you really did. And if I tell you, for the listeners, if you have never seen that movie, Good Morning Vietnam, true story about Adrian Cronauer, who was a DJ in Vietnam, and it's a fantastic movie played by Robin Williams, who is such a gem. That's just a great movie. But that's a great intro, Chris. Morning to you, Chris. We're back
Good
from
morning.
Break. You still doing all right?
I think so.
Excellent.
We're learning a lot.
We are, and we're here with Dr. Linda. And Dr. Linda, you're at 19 Mile Vet Clinic. Where is it?
Yeah, so the clinic is actually about a mile west of the 19 Mile Road exit off of 130. Is it 140? Okay.
Yeah. So 131,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the number was, yeah. but so it's just a mile to the west, and the clinic sits on the south side of the
yep.
road.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, it's right there.
And it's also 2 miles away from Lori's house.
There you
yep,
go.
Tell
us a little bit about the history of the clinic, because it's pretty important history to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So the clinic was originally built by Don Hitzman, and I think him and his wife lived in the area for
a long time.
Okay,
guy.
So
her too, she was local.
Yeah, and they built that clinic in, I don't know, maybe you know Bruce.
A long time ago. I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think the building was there for 30 years
sure
or more, maybe. But they built that clinic, and I came on board to work with Don. Geez, I think it was like 2015 maybe. Wow. And I was only like, I wasn't even 2 years out of school. Yep. And wow, he hired me, and then he got sick, obviously. Yeah. And so I didn't get to enjoy him for very long, but what a wonderful person. I don't, did you know him?
No,
Chris?
Probably
did.
I had okay. no idea.
He was your mentor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just
and
a great.
He was so experienced, just, but also what a teacher and
yeah,
a character yeah, and a loving man. He's one of my favorite people I've ever
yeah,
met.
Yeah. Just so, such a loss to just the veterinary community. It just, he's, yeah, he was a really, a truly unique person.
Yeah.
That just,
Chris, if you saw him, talk to him on the phone and, you know, we got to be friends. Don, how you doing? He'd look at you and he'd go, perfect. And he was that kind of positive guy. And he's our across the street neighbor. And as we got to know each other, both of us don't turn our nose down to a nice bourbon or
he's across the street right now?
No, he passed
they
away.
Lived, oh. They lived there.
But on a hot summer day, when one of us is in a mood, we'd text either him to me or me to him a picture, a little graphic of a drink. And then the other person say, your place or mine. And it'd be cocktail hour, 4:30 or so. And if so, I'd go over there and we'd have a Jim Beam.
Was this while
Coke.
You were a police officer?
Yeah. I live here.
All right.
I'm not a police officer in this house. Believe me, no one in this house listens to me. No, he's my neighbor. He lives right there. And so I'd either go there or he'd come here. And he's just, I could go on. We could do a whole show
yeah,
about having yeah, people come in and talk about Don Hitzman. Not only an amazing vet, but even a better human being.
Yeah, he was, just.
And so how just blessed were you?
Like very blessed.
For him
yeah,
to break you in to be your mentor.
Yeah, he was yeah, just amazing. And his clients were equally amazing. They loved him
they
so
did.
Much. When he brought me on board, most of his clients didn't even want to see me in that office because they, because yes, I was like a new person yes, and they had no idea who I was or what I knew. And they just wanted to see Don. And yeah, that was just a testament to just the way that he lived his life.
Amazing.
And people just loved him. Yes. I mean, they just, and eventually everybody warmed up to me a little bit, you know,
oh,
and it was okay, but he just, he was just such a,
he's a special
such a
human
unique,
being.
His clinic, though, he still had this, like, he had this x-ray room, right? Like, where he was still developing his x-rays, like, dipping them
like in, the water.
Yeah, in, like, the chemicals, yeah, like, developing. And I graduated good, in 2013, right? And when I got there, he's like, okay, Linda, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to use this? Do this process? And I just had to say no because I had no clue. I had never seen that. I mean, everything yeah, is digital and it's yeah, been digital for yeah, years.
Yeah.
And so he had to teach me how to like develop x-rays in the
in the
chemicals.
Tank.
So yeah, it was
in the
it
dark
was a,
room.
Yeah, in a dark room. Yeah. It was a real learning experience.
Yeah, it was. Well, so, it's a beautiful clinic when it was bought and remodeled. They did a beautiful job. And there's three veterinarians there. They're all amazing. I know them all well. So it's yeah, okay, we're friends. People are going to say he's only saying nice things because we're friends. But it's
well,
an amazing clinic.
We do try to take care of our clients. And so much of vet med is just not, it's not just about seeing your pet patients and taking care of them. It's so much about like developing a relationship with your clients because your client is the every pet comes with a client
yeah,
attached.
Yeah.
And it's just, but it's so special when you can develop just really good, strong relationships with your clients and they trust you.
Yep.
And that's just, that's a really, it's a special thing. And so yep, we try to take care of people and just be friendly and do good medicine
yes,
at the same time, but
yep,
make people feel important and include them in their pet's care because
yep,
that really, it just goes such a long way.
Yep, certainly does.
I don't know if our listeners can hear anything, but it sounds like there's like construction outside this radio station. I'm trying to adjust the mic so we don't pick up any construction.
That's because construction, there is a delightful. Is she?
Yeah.
Is she two?
She's closing in on 2.5.
Linda's a daughter, delightful little girl. She's 2.5, and I'm not. This really isn't a compliment, but she's smarter than I am. Now,
well, she's doing people construction. Would
say, "Ooh, she's smarter than you." Yeah, I've got a room temperature IQ, so I guess being smarter than me isn't that big of a deal. But she, her language and her the things she says just is amazing. So she's upstairs.
Yeah, she's enjoying it here at Uncle Bruce and Auntie Vicky's. House.
Yeah, she's just
there's new toys to play with here, exactly. So that's a lot of fun.
Exactly. Well, Linda, I'd like to get to another subject or two, but. Little more on allergies. So what are some things that people might see that their dog is experiencing that it's time to get in to see the vet?
Allergies in dogs presents very differently than allergies in humans. A lot of people that have allergies, they have asthma. A lot of allergens are inhaled. They cause respiratory symptoms, that sort of thing in people. In pets, so dogs, I guess, for the purposes of this conversation, systemic allergies, whether they're from food or something in the environment, pollens, grasses, molds, dust, that sort of thing, typically presents as itching, skin infections, hair loss, ear infections. They can be chronic and recurrent in some cases. A lot of dogs with environmental allergies, which we call atopic dermatitis. I think we touched on that briefly before, but those dogs will lick at their feet just kind of incessantly.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons for that is that dogs will pick up allergens from the grass that they're walking in. Mm-hmm. So they come inside, they've been out wandering around in the grass, their paws are full of allergens and those things are getting absorbed through the pads of their mm-hmm. feet. So that's why they lick at them and they're itchy. So yeah. So something that a lot of people just don't know. One of the things you can do to help with that, if you have a dog with allergies that's licking at his feet, is just wipe their paws off when they come in from outside.
Like with a wet non-alcohol.
Yeah, just like water and then dry them. Yeah. That can be kind of laborious depending on how much time your dog comes in and out, but that is one thing that may mm-hmm. really help them in certain cases. Yeah. Huh.
So when they come in, I'm assuming, if you eliminate some obvious things, you know, a poor diet, whatever goes through, there's some medicines that will help, right?
Oh, yep. We have a lot of really good, very effective meds for dealing with dogs that have itching. You know, if they have skin infections, we'll put them on antibiotics. If they have ear infections, they get topical ear medications. We have some really good prescription medicated shampoos and mousses that can help with some of those skin things. A lot of times treating the problem from both directions. So systemically with antibiotics, if they have a skin infection, then use of a medicated mousse or shampoo is really helpful because then you're kind of addressing the mm-hmm. issue from both sides of the pet. But it's every case is different. We definitely get very good at managing allergies. And I've had some cases that are just really, really hard. They don't always respond to the basic simple stuff. Yeah. And I think what's frustrating for people is that if you have a dog with bad allergies, that can go on and on and on forever and ever their entire life. So it can get expensive and just kind of cumbersome in some cases, but that's just what you get.
Have you found cases where just a change of what they're eating is a mm-hmm. fixes it?
Yeah. And most of those cases, the dog is probably not eating a super high quality food. And mm-hmm. so sometimes just a simple switch to a higher quality food that's maybe better meeting the nutritional needs of the pet, better supporting hair and coat health, adding essential fatty acids, which are...
And now we're talking supplements for the dog?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But
no essential fatty acids.
Good food, you're going to get that.
Yeah. A lot of them are already supplemented with that. Yeah. But it's really well documented research in both human and animal medicine that essential fatty acids really decrease systemic inflammation. So whether it's coming from the skin, whether it's mm-hmm. coming from osteoarthritis, orthopedic surgeons recommend it as well. That can really help most dogs. So a lot of times just better plan of nutrition helps.
I used to tell people, because as a dog trainer, the people would ask, the dumbest place to save money is on your dog food. So you can buy this bag for $50 and this bag for $20. First of all, you'll feed twice as much to
because
get the same result.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, and you'll have big piles of stool. I hope Jen is, because I said poop a lot.
Oh, God, here we go. We're again, talking about two episodes in a row.
We're talking about stool. These great big piles.
Number two.
From low quality food. And if you buy a really high quality food, you can almost cut the amount you're feeding them in half. So I tell people all the time, you are not saving money by buying a half price bag of dog food. You're wasting money. And you're, you know, jeopardizing your dog's health. Yeah, would you agree with that?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So
good advice, Bruce.
Why, thank you. Good, I'm one English class shy of being a veterinarian. I was that close. And if my brothers hadn't held me underwater.
Is there anything you haven't done?
No.
Pretty much anybody can do it.
That's good. Chris, the dog training and competitor, you never knew that, did you?
No, I did not until today.
I bred very high-quality labs, and I was a competitor in the field trials. Adopt, don't shop. You're right. We're going to get to that. Let's get to... here's a question I have, especially with performance dogs.
I got a question first.
Yes,
quit interrupting me. Hold your question. Performance dogs, it happens all the time. You get a laceration. Mm-hmm. If it is, it's really hard to know when do you get them in and get them stitched and when you don't. Because the old wives' tale is just let them lick it for a few days and a dog will lick the wounds and they'll be okay. Dr. Linda, please weigh in.
Yeah, so just letting them lick it is not a great idea, because I've also heard there's this, I think it's like a wives' tale that dogs have like really clean mouths. Have you guys heard that?
I have heard that.
Circulating somewhere. Yeah, so that's sure not true.
I used to see my dog clean him or herself everywhere.
Yes,
on the entire body.
Correct, and I haven't been around that many people who do that. So there's a lot of bacteria in their mouth, and you introduce that into a wound, clean or contaminated already. That's not going to do it any favors in terms of healing. So
that's how I felt. But that's the old country thing. Is just let them lick their wounds. You know, it'll be okay. And then is there a superficial wound that obviously is under the fur but shouldn't be stitched, or if it is an open wound, should it be stitched?
Go to the vet and ask.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, see this
but,
guy.
No, but,
he's got the right answer.
But like we go to Kansas pheasant hunting every year, and almost every year one of the dogs gets cut. And of course, the vets are running through the. You should see how hard these dogs hunt. They hit fences. They hit barbed wire.
Oh my gosh.
They hit sharp pieces of farm equipment. It's buried in the soil. It all over. If the dog's not bleeding and gushing, the dogs just want to hunt, and we never know. Well. Do we take them to the vet today? Can we wait a couple days? You can't wait real long, right?
Right. Yeah, because they're in terms of wound healing, they do get to kind of a point where the body will try to heal a wound, even large wounds, where you can't really like close those wounds back together. Yeah. There's different types of healing that happen. So, I guess if there's a question, you should probably have it seen. But for the most part, if it's not like gushing blood, if it's like a torn toenail, right? The Dr. Don used to tell people that the toenail was a long way from the heart, and so they weren't going to probably bleed to death.
Exactly.
From their toenail.
I love that. I love that.
But if it's not gushing, it's on like a limb, if you can put a pressure bandage on it, keep it clean, keep it from like gushing and oozing. It's hard to make a broad recommendation.
Just go to the vet.
For that.
The other thing, Chris, with, cell phones. Take a picture of the wound.
Yep.
Call the vet and say, "Do you have a cell phone? I'll send you a picture." Yeah. Would that be something you'd appreciate?
Yeah, and a lot of like ER facilities, you can email or text things, and even if they can't necessarily see your pet, they will maybe weigh in and give you an opinion on it.
Yeah.
If you have questions on the weekend, that's a good place to.
I cut my finger last year, and I think I tried to get a hold of you or something.
I would have stitched it.
Well, I know you would have, and you would have done it with no anesthesia. But no, what I wanted to know is, I still have the picture.
Can you legally say that online? No, probably not.
No, we're just friends. It would be like a party.
I'm really good at stitching things.
I sent my buddy, who's a vet, you know, a longtime friend, a picture of it, a video of it, and I opened it and I said, "Bill, all I need to know is that going to heal by itself?" Or and he looked at it. He says, "That'll never heal. It's not life threatening." He said, "That'll never heal. You got to have it stitched."
So
maybe you could, you know, if you're out hunting or whatever, have your cell phone, you know, take a picture.
And on the legs, just like your finger, there's really important structures. There's tendons, there are ligaments that are very close to the surface of the skin. Oh, so so that can be a little bit of a more tricky situation if you've got like stuff hanging out of your dog's leg and you don't know really what it is.
Go to the vet.
Yeah.
That's it. Simple. Just go.
Right. Yeah. That's good. See?
Yeah.
Sir, there you go. We should just put you on our answering
service. I have
the
higher IQ level, I think.
Yeah. That...
It's not that easy. When you go out to Kansas hunting for 3 days, you drive all the way out and everything. You don't want to spend the day at the vet unless if it's an emergency.
We always
take care of our dogs. But trust me, you're punishing a hunting dog out in Kansas if you take them out of the field and take them to a vet. They're crying and whining.
Yeah,
they want to hunt.
Yeah,
you know that's. But anyhow, Dr. Linda, the one thing I realized, Chris, I think you'll agree, is we need to do this again. We barely scratch the surface.
We're not done.
We're right there, my friend. Jen,
I want to know.
We're not done. Yes, we are. Let me ask you another question.
That's perfect. Go ahead. He didn't even get a question yet.
Whatever.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dry or wet food?
Is the question, should you feed one or the other?
Which one's better? Or depends on the breed? Why would one choose one over the other?
There's a lot of reasons. So I think in general, when you're talking about dog food, I think dry kibble is the best.
Nutritionally?
But there's a lot of exceptions to that rule. So if you have a sick pet and they maybe need more moisture or more water in their diet, so you can feed canned food for those reasons. There are certain pets that have health conditions, maybe kidney disease or something that would require that they maybe eat predominantly a canned food diet. So there's nothing wrong with canned foods necessarily. It's just that I think they're more expensive to feed. Mm. I mean, is one thing. And most dogs do just fine on a well-formulated, like high-quality dry kibble. Yeah. There's this... Like, again, maybe it's a wives' tale. I don't know. But I've heard people say to me that feeding canned food makes dogs have like periodontal disease, like worse dental disease.
Oh.
So the idea is that when dogs are chewing on dry kibble, that it's actually helping to kind of remove tartar and calculus from the teeth and keep their teeth healthy. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I think it seems that most of the periodontal disease that we see is in like small, like toy breed dogs. So Chihuahuas, Pomeranians, Shih Tzus, Bostons. So I think there's a strong genetic component to that particular type of disease condition, if you want to call it, as well. So even, I mean, a lot of those dogs eat dry kibble and they still have to have all of their teeth extracted by the time that they're 10, you know? So it's, I don't know that you can just like make one statement across the board that says one is better than the other. I think they're both good and they both have their appropriate like uses in veterinary medicine.
Does that answer
your question?
Yes.
And Chris, my experience has been excluding like a science diet. It seems like dozens of specialty foods. Like sometimes if dogs are having an intestinal problem, block it, whatever it is, you feed them this. It's a wet food called ID and it's very kind to their system.
Yeah, it's Hill's intestinal diet. Yeah. So.
But excluding those specialty diets, and I was really into this because what we fed these performance dogs is so important. I never found a commercial canned food that ounce for ounce, whether it's weight or volume, had near the nutrition that the dry kibble would. So for instance, Purina Pro Plan, their performance is 30% protein and 20% fat, which is really high test. You won't, you don't want to feed the average dog that because they might get fat. But
they will get fat.
Yes. But if you look at the nutritional ingredients on like a canned food, you might see 5% protein or 7 maybe.
Wow.
And so excluding, you know, a specialty food. The only time we used it in Kansas because we, our dogs, we had to make sure they ate like in this little window of time at the end of the day. So we would take our kibble.
You're starving the dog too. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's good for him. We're taking our kibble and mixing a can of wet food in because the dogs love it and they just go and they gobble it up. Mm. But, that worked well, but we really need to, Jen's going to. You know, Jen, we don't need to give Jen anything else, you know.
To be angry at
with
us?
To be angry at, because we say poop and we do all these things. Yeah, but Jen's pretty good to us. But anyhow, we'd love to have you back because people love this. They love their pets.
Seems like he's shutting the show down now.
Yeah, because we've been at it for an hour. And
Mike clock doesn't say that.
Yeah, your clock doesn't say that. Your clock doesn't talk, but we would love. Did you have fun?
Yeah, that's great. Good. Great. Yeah, I'm happy to come back anytime. You guys just let me know.
Love to have you back. And I have to hit the community buzz.
Well, I don't know if we have time.
Oh, yeah, we better have time. If you're interested in joining Rotary Club of Big Rapids, you can find them on Bookface. Rotary Club of Big Rapids. Stop by the lower level artworks. Remember, the first two lunches are on them. Mesiola Curry Comfort Home teaming up with Two Hats Ranch for their Shooting for Comfort Sporting Clay event May 17th. Two Hats is fantastic. Yeah. That includes ammunition, golf cart, and lunch. You can get your four-person team registered by going to their website, mesiolacurrycomforthome.com, or questions, 231-287-2208. I love that because this is the noise in this house with three grandkids all day long.
Yeah. You need a studio, radio station. This is a radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I call that our house. Feels like our house. The Animal Rescue Coalition is a nonprofit no-kill shelter. They always need donations of food and toys. They are Mecosta County's only shelter. So remember to adopt, don't shop.
Adopt, don't shop.
Remember, there it is. Remember, any pet is a lifetime commitment. So take it seriously. Each animal they have needs a forever family. Gilbert's Carpet Plus Color Tile has a red, white, and blue Dream Floor Award where you can vote for a facility in the listening area to win a new floor for their facility. Go to Gilbert's Carpets plus.com Dream Floor Award. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Bett and Baker Big Rapids, Purely Clean Services, Sue Bean. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
At Big Rapids Realty, the Barreton Firearms Training Center, and Gilbert's Carpet Plus Color Tile, along with other supportive people and businesses from the community. We want to thank each and every one of you for getting behind our show. And
please support us.
There you go. And these things don't run on air. If you'd like to sponsor the show, the Big Rapids Buzz, if you enjoy it and you want to continue to hear it, call your best friend Jen here at B1039 at 231-796-1103, and she'll get you started. Listen again next Monday at 8:30 a.m. for the Big Rapids Buzz with me, Bruce Borkovich, and
Chris Long.
That was something. The Big Rapids
Buzz. We don't have time. That's we got
to
go.
We don't have time for you to say we don't have time. Thanks again for listening to the Big Rapids Buzz.
Bye.